are the poor. And we walked away with an understanding that he couldn't really be speaking about material things. He wasn't really addressing couldn't be, because everything else throughout the rest of his teaching dealt with kingdom living and principles of kingdom life. And so we had to understand that he's laying a spiritual foundation, that the entryway, remember we discovered that these beatitudes, these blessings that he's pronouncing, and these characteristics of kingdom living, they weren't just listed in random order. Rather, they were listed in order of necessity. And so with that knowledge, we understand that the entryway into the kingdom of God is an awareness of our own spiritual poverty. That until and unless we reach the point and come to the conclusion that of myself, I have nothing to offer. Left on my own, I am completely and utterly depraved and hopeless and helpless without Christ. That's the conclusion that he's trying to bring us to. And those that are finally able to come to that conclusion, that nothing in my hands I bring, I don't have anything to offer. Remember what we said? Jesus doesn't need you. And Jesus doesn't need me. He got along just fine. The kingdom of God existed long before I came onto the scene. He doesn't need me, but guess what? I need him. And when I can finally come to that realization that I'm not all that, I may have this ability and you may have that talent, and we all might be able to contribute certain things when we put our collective abilities together. But even when we're at our very best, we're still not all that. And when we can come to that conclusion, Jesus said, you're blessed. You are spiritually fortunate when you come to the understanding that you need me. And then we said that the only appropriate response when we realize just how utterly desperate we are, the only appropriate response is one of mourning. Oh my goodness, that's what I really look like? That's who I really am? Boy, what's to be proud of? What's to boast about? Man, the only appropriate response when I realize just how much I really need him is one of mourning, one of repentance, one of turning from all of that and saying, Lord, unless you do it, it's not going to get done. Unless you help me, I'm going to be without help. Unless you offer me hope, I remain hopeless. Oh, God, wretched man that I am, God, forgive me. Even at my best, I need your forgiveness. And when we come to that conclusion and we have that response, Jesus said, you're blessed. And so far, blessing in God's kingdom looks like spiritual poverty and mourning. Who wants to be a part of the kingdom? Hang on, we're going to get there, guys. You see, remember, he's saying, you can't start over here. We're going to get you there, but you got to start recognizing your own inabilities, recognizing your own deficiencies. And we'll get you there. Don't worry. We'll get you there. Remember, even in our spiritual poverty, there's blessing. Even in mourning, there's joy. And then we learned last week that one of the characteristics, when we realize just how utterly helpless we are, and when we take the appropriate response, and the appropriate response, God, forgive me, I'm a mess. What that does is it produces something in us. How many of you know that pride cannot exist in that environment? It can't. And so that attitude and that environment and those characteristics being developed in us, and by the way, listen, let me tell you this. You don't have the ability to even begin the process. Even the recognition of how desperate we are from him has to be initiated by him. And so there's absolutely no room for anyone to say, whoa, man, look at how humble I am. You see the contradiction there? So what characteristic is produced in us when we take this disposition and when we have this attitude? It's one of meekness. Understand what we didn't say. We didn't say weakness. We said meekness. Remember Diablo? That crazy horse? Throw off anybody that got on his back, strong as all get out. But once he was broken, even the smallest child could ride him and direct him with the slightest pull. That's meekness. We're not talking about losing, oh, God, I'm just a weak, helpless little worm. No, actually, when you realize how desperate you are and you mourn over it and God begins to pour his strength into you and God begins to give you hope and God begins to give you forgiveness and God begins to change you from the inside out, you feel that strength of the Holy Spirit rising up in you. The response isn't one of pride. The response is, I didn't begin this process. No matter how strong I get, no matter how anointed I get, no matter how awesome it is, no matter how many talents I have, no matter how much I have to contribute, it's all him and not me. And so the attitude isn't weakness, but it's meekness, and it's a recognition that there's all this strength that God is pouring into me, but all that strength is tempered by the Holy Spirit holding the reins of my life. So there's no room for pride. It's an awareness that even the strength that I now possess was given to me by the grace of God. And those who are meek are blessed. And the Bible says without that meekness, you can't even begin to understand, much less move in on your inheritance. And so then today, all of that's background. And so then today we want to take a look at verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Start with verse 1 and then we'll go into it. All right, remember, listed in order of necessity. He's building here. Number 1, verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up into the mountainside and he sat down and his disciples came to him. He began to teach them and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Number 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And now today, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If you're reading from the King James, it reads this way, blessed are those who do hunger and do thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, some people, when they're reading that particular verse, they might translate it, even if they wouldn't do it outwardly, in their own mind, I think some people translate it this way. Ready? Blessed are those who seek after blessing. You want to be blessed? Seek after a blessing. Or some people might translate it this way. Blessed, and remember what we said about blessed. We said blessed is spiritually fortunate. We could even say happy in the sense the happiness comes from God. Okay, so blessed or happy are those who pursue after happiness. Some even might translate it this way. Blessed are those who strive for the things that they assume will satisfy them. And when we and if we ever take this approach to trying to understand what Christ is saying here, we will always have some unattainable thing out there that becomes the object of our pursuit. Be it blessing in and of itself, or happiness, or something, or some tangible or intangible something that if we can just obtain that, then we will have arrived. And that's not at all what this passage is saying. Instead, it's saying, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. For those are the ones who will be filled. You see, here's the thing. Everyone. No matter their location, no matter their age. Everyone is longing for satisfaction, longing for something that will satisfy. And the difficulty comes when we pursue and when we seek after what we think is going to satisfy that desire for happiness or that desire to be complete. I'm just going to break it down. Can I do that? You want to know what it looks like to be spiritually depraved? You want to know what spiritual poverty looks like? You want to know how desperate mankind is to try to find something that will satisfy, something that will close the loop? We saw the utter depravity of mankind. We saw the pursuit of happiness outside of the kingdom on full display in Charlottesville yesterday. Yeah, I went there. What we saw yesterday was what each and every one of us is capable of outside of the kingdom. Don't kid yourself. Never me. Don't kid yourself. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. No one can even know what it's capable of outside of the kingdom. And so Jesus is reminding us here, look, the only way that you're going to find true satisfaction, the only way that you're ever going to find that joy and that blessed life is inside of the kingdom. If you try to pursue it any other way, it's going to end up like we saw on TV yesterday. And so I'm telling you, when you recognize, listen, in me dwells no good thing, but for the grace of God, that would be me. And so I recognize that and I cry out to God and I realize that it's only Him that is giving me any strength and it's only through Him that I receive any kind of ability at all. And so there's no room for boasting. And so what it does is it creates in me a desire for more and more and more. Man, if this is how good it is just at the introductory level, God, put within me a hunger and a thirst for so much of you, because it's only then that I'll be satisfied. It's only then that I'll be filled. Christ actually reinforces this concept a few verses later down in chapter 6, verse 33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these other things that you think you absolutely have to have in order to be happy and satisfied. Everything else that you think is necessary for your life to be complete, He's either going to show you how insignificant they are, or if they really are required for you, He says they will be added to you. But the priority is seek the kingdom. I loved it. You had no idea exactly where I was going to go this morning, but the Holy Spirit knew. You want to know what the kingdom is? It's righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So what does it mean? What is it that all of this praying and all of this humility and all of this meekness, what is it supposed to be generating in us? Well, I can tell you what it's generating in you. It's generating a God-given hunger and a God-given thirst for righteousness. What is righteousness? Basically, righteousness is this. It is being in right standing with God. It's being in right standing with God. But because I also understand some things about Scripture, it seems like I remember somewhere in the Scripture, doesn't it say that if you're offering an offering of worship unto the Lord, and you remember that you have ought or you have some kind of issue between you and a brother or sister, that what you're really supposed to do is just completely stop what you're doing. The Bible says, leave your offering there on the altar and go and make it right with that brother or sister. And when you've been reconciled to them, then come back and offer your worship to me. It seems like I also read that it said, how in the world can you claim to love God whom you haven't seen when you don't even love your neighbor who you have seen? And so when I'm trying to form in my mind what righteousness really looks like, yes, of course, righteousness means that I'm in right standing with God. It means that I've recognized my own sin and my utter helplessness, and I mourn and I'm praying over that, and I'm submitting all of that insufficiency to Him, and He's filling me with His strength, and He's keeping me humble and meek and helping me to realize that He is my source. And all of that is going on. And so I'm in right standing with God. But another part of righteousness in the kingdom is being in right standing one with another. And so righteousness has a horizontal as well as a vertical component. He's not even really interested in our prayers if we willingly hold aught or grudge against someone else. The Bible says He won't even hear you. And so when we're seeking out, put it in its context again, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want to be right with God, and you want to be right with one another. Now listen, I understand. You know, issues happen, something comes up, there's a rift, there's a disagreement, there's something that, you know, you've had a misunderstanding and someone gets upset. Maybe it was your fault, maybe it was their fault, maybe it was a combination of both, or maybe it's just the work of the enemy trying to divide people. I don't know. But for some reason, there's something there. And sometimes we can go and do our best to make it right. Can I talk to you, man? I just want to talk. No! Never mind, you hurt me. I'm not going to. Sometimes, in spite of your best effort, you just can't fix some things. Sometimes it takes a little time. You might just need to let some time pass and let some water go under the bridge. And who knows, if that person is God's child, let God work in them and bring that thing back around. But as far as you are concerned, make every effort to not just be in right standing with God, but be in right standing one with another. That's righteousness that He's speaking about. And so seek after righteousness. As far as our right standing with God, here's what it means. It means being justified before Him. It's in essence a declaration of not guilty. I still can't move off of point one. I still can't get away from the fact that I'm utterly helpless and hopeless without Him. I still can't get over the fact that my life is a mess. And now He's declaring me not guilty. I know better. I know I'm as guilty as sin, and you know you're as guilty as sin. But hear the words of a father who has forgiven a repentant child. Not guilty. Neither will I remember their sin anymore. And so the things that haunt me and the things that you just can't forget from your own past, when you bring them to the mind of God again, God, do you remember when I did this? Or do you remember when so-and-so did that to me? And He, in all honesty, will say, no. It's not that He can't remember it. It's that He's chosen not to. So why am I going to continue to beat myself up over something that my heavenly Father doesn't even remember? And God help you if you remind me of something that my heavenly Father has forgiven. Wow. What kind of freedom is that? Huh? How awesome is that? Pursuing after righteousness with all of your heart. And the Bible says it this way. That's the goal. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're seeking after. The Bible says that our attitude towards righteousness ought to be one of hungering and thirsting. Now, I know this isn't school, but indulge me for just a moment. Let's read that passage again, shall we? Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Who can tell me what part of speech is hunger and thirst? Who said it? Someone said it. Verb, thank you. Now, what do we always tell children when they're learning about the parts of speech? A verb is a action word. Thank you. It's not passive. It's active. In this sense, I really like the way the King James says it. Blessed are those who do hunger and those who do thirst. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say blessed are those who are hungry and who are thirsty. Those would be adjectives. Thank you. And an adjective is a characteristic that describes someone, but it may or may not have anything to do with the action on the part of the one that's being described. You get it? But no, the scripture says this: blessed are those who actively hunger and actively thirst after righteousness. Here's how one guy described hunger. I like this. Listen, he said this: you know you're hungry when you toil all day and long for daily sustenance. If you've ever been really hungry, this is what he said. If you've ever really been hungry, it's all you can think about. It drives every pursuit and influences every decision. Just to be very honest with you, in the natural, I don't know that I've ever truly been hungry. There have been some times when I feel like it's time to eat. You know, my stomach's growling, or it's been several hours since I ate last, or whatever the case. You know, we just, oh man, I think I could eat a little something. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, I could just eat a little something. That's not what we're saying here. We're talking about being so desperate for something to eat that you can't even think of anything else. As a matter of fact, if you get hungry enough, you will do things that you never thought you were capable of doing. It's interesting. I remember seeing some news footage, and you can see this kind of thing happen periodically, but I remember specifically one specific example, some news footage from New Orleans just after Katrina. It had been several weeks, and they still didn't have electricity, and people were desperate trying to find food. Some people had not abandoned their homes, and their homes had been flooded, and they're living in their attics, and they're trying to get rescue. And when they were finally able to break their way out of their own roofs, they went and they found a store that still had some food. These are people that would never act this way, but they broke the windows out of the store. They went into this store and they began stealing, looting. And they would ask these people, and I remember one lady in particular, she just confessed with tears running down her face. She says, I'm going to have to come back after everything is said and done and square up with this store owner, but my family is hungry. I would not normally do this, but I'm desperate. That's what we're talking about. That's the picture. Blessed are those who are so desperate. I'm not just talking about, well, I could eat a little something. No. I'm talking about being desperate. You're hungry. And then you can take that same kind of picture as regards to thirst. There have been a few times when my mouth was a little dry. And there have been some times when I thought, man, I could really use a drink, like right now. I'll tell you what I did. I typed in the word thirsty into a Google search. And then I did an image search. And 9 out of 10 pictures were someone drinking a bottle of water. That's not what I was looking for. I was looking for someone who was just emaciated, who was dried out, dehydrated, a sack of skin and bones, because that's the picture. I mean, you talk. I'm not just talking. Well, I'm a little thirsty. I could use a little something to drink. That's not it. That's not what he's saying. Blessed are those who are so parched. Here's the way one guy used to say it. Man, I'm so thirsty, it would take me a week's notice just to spit. Anybody ever been that thirsty? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about being on the verge of absolutely perishing because you are so thirsty for something to refresh you. Here's the way one author described thirst. He said, a person is said to truly thirst when he or she can painfully feel their want and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed and strengthened. And then I think of the scripture that says, Lord, as the deer pants after the water, so my soul longs for you. God, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I'm tired of thinking that somehow I can satisfy my own thirst by telling about how my grandparents drank water. Hello. Does anybody get what I'm saying? I can't read a book about somebody else drinking water and have my own thirst satisfied. Hello. I can't watch a video of someone else drinking water and have my own thirst satisfied. I've got to have it for me. I'm glad for your story. I'm glad for your testimony. And guess what? I was thirsty yesterday. Guess what? I'm thirsty again today. And I'll be thirsty again tomorrow. You get it? Blessed are those who do hunger and do thirst. See, the picture here is someone who is weak. Blessed are those who are spiritually poor. The picture is someone who is weak and knows it. The picture here is someone who is emaciated. I really doubt if any of us have ever in the physical have ever actually been that weak. Maybe you have, I don't know, but most of us have not. You want to know what this looks like? You want to know what this hunger and thirst looks like that Jesus is describing in verse 6? Pull up that picture, Stephen. That's what it looks like. I know that's heartbreaking, but that's what it looks like. Now, again, I'm having trouble wrapping my head around this because Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are like this spiritually. But I don't feel blessed. I feel hungry. Blessed are those who thirst. I don't feel blessed. I feel dried out and emaciated. But then he says, because those who spiritually hunger and those who spiritually thirst shall be filled. You see, there's the promise on the other side of the desperation. And just so you'll know, this little boy right here, next slide, that's him. So back again. Blessed are those. Come on, put your own face right there, spiritually speaking. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after me, for they shall be filled. Oh, who? You get it? What does he mean when he talks about, man, what does he mean when he says shall be filled? First off, you got to understand it's a sure promise. You're not going to get hungry and thirsty and him leave you disappointed. You will never be so hungry and thirsty for him and then find him saying, well, that was a good effort, but never mind. You remember that guy on the commercial where he says, come on, you got to be quicker than that. You know what I'm talking about? He's got the money on the end of the fishing pole, and the lady's like, where's my discount on my insurance? And the guy's like, come on, you got to be quicker than that. Remember that? That's not Jesus. He's not going to say, here's your fullness. Here's your satisfaction. You got to be quicker. That's not it at all. Those who hunger and thirst, certainly, without doubt, you'll never be disappointed in this. You get hungry for God, you get thirsty for God, you're going to be filled. It's an absolute guarantee. He's not going to leave you disappointed when you're hungry and thirsty for Him. Well, so what does it mean? I like this. Sometimes, how many of you know you don't have to do Greek, you don't have to do word studies sometimes. You just have to do some basic looking. You know what the word filled, how it's translated, or how it, some synonyms? I like this one. Gorged. Man, just a minute ago, I was hungry. Just a minute ago, I was thirsty. But because God is true to His word, I'm gorged on the things of God. He has satisfied me with good things. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He has prepared a table before me, right in the presence of my enemies. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They will be made righteous. Hallelujah. Gorged, fattened. There's a good one. Fattened. To supply in abundance. To fulfill or satisfy the desire. Wow. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after right living. Blessed are those who are so hungry and so thirsty for living right with God and being right with each other. For God will satisfy that with righteousness. God will fill them and satisfy that desire. But here's the thing. Thank you, Stephen. You could put it back to the first slide if you want. Here's the thing. I kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I'm going to press in on this in the closing moments. How many of you had breakfast yesterday morning? Some kind of breakfast. Cereal, something. Okay. And then did you eat again around noon? Somewhere in the middle of the afternoon? And then again last night? Anybody? Maybe a few snacks in between? That's me too. I like to graze, you know, just kind of all day, just kind of graze. Yeah. I always tell my wife, I eat light. I start eating when it gets light, and I eat as long as it is light. I'm a light eater. But here's the thing. I'll eat something now, and in a little while, I'll feel that rumble again. And so it doesn't really matter how satisfied I am at one meal. Sure enough, give it some time, I'll feel that twinge again. I'll want to eat all over again. Can I tell you, that's the way it is spiritually. It's not as if we just get hungry one time and we get filled one time and then that's it. No. You see, He gave them manna every morning. And if you tried to go back to yesterday's manna, it would be rotten already. And so today is a brand new day. And today has a brand new hunger. And today has a brand new thirst. And I was hungry and I was thirsty for Him yesterday. And He was faithful and He satisfied me. But today it's all new. And so His mercies need to be new every morning. And so as long as I maintain the right attitude, and as long as I maintain the right posture, and as long as I recognize my own spiritual inability, and I continue to humble and yield myself to Him and recognize even at my very best I'm not very much. And even what I do have to offer comes from Him. And I'm not going to get prideful over it. Instead, I'm going to stay meek and I'm going to stay humble and I'm going to stay yielded to the work of the Holy Spirit in me. And when He begins to use me and when I begin to see those strengths and when I begin to see God's joy flow out of my life and people's lives are being impacted and my family is changed and I don't live the way I used to live. When those things happen in me, what it does is it makes me say, man, I'd like a little more of that. Man, that was good. That was a good meal. I think I'll sit down at the same table and enjoy the goodness of the God, goodness of the Lord yet again. And so blessed are those who do hunger and do thirst, for they shall be filled. And every time you hunger, you're going to be filled. And every time you thirst, you're going to be satisfied. And that's the promise of Scripture. That's the promise of the Word. That is kingdom living. That's the kingdom life. Blessed are those who do hunger and do thirst, for they shall be filled. Amen? Now here's the thing. That lesson that I'm still trying to learn from the first beatitude about spiritual poverty, that lesson that I think I've got it all figured out and then I remember, no, there's still a lot of pride that needs to be crucified in me. That thing, it keeps bringing me to the point, even when God blesses me, even when I have my desires satisfied, even when I feel spiritually full, even that is dependent on Him. You see, I don't even have the ability to create hunger within myself. In the natural, hunger is a natural process. When we're talking spiritually, understand spiritual hunger is a supernatural process. It's not something that you can generate. The only way that you can get hungry for God is if God puts the hunger in you. The Bible says it is Him that works in you both to do and to will of His good pleasure. And so I don't even have the ability to desire God unless He puts the desire in me. Where's the pride in that? Amen? So, kingdom life. Kingdom life. Let's stand. Oh, wow. If you didn't realize it yet, life in this kingdom doesn't make sense to this world. You see, because remember, why on earth would I desire spiritual poverty in this world? If this world is defining the terms, why on earth? Because poverty means lack. Poverty means you don't have something, and that's certainly not something we want to pursue. But we're not talking about this world. We're talking about the kingdom. And in the kingdom, what seems to be wrong in one place is actually right. And so when Jesus is speaking these words, blessed are the spiritually poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are meek, blessed are those who find themselves emaciated and dried out and desperate for God, blessed are those folks. And the world's going, that don't look like blessing to me. But on the other side of that, blessed are those who are spiritually poor, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those who are mourning, for those are the ones who will be comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, for they're the ones who will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty, for they will not remain that way. Instead, they'll be filled. Amen? Wow, what an awesome Christ we serve. Amen? What an awesome God we serve. Amen. I don't know, Doc, would you have something you could just kind of... Okay, here we go. This is what it all boils down to. Certainly, I want those of us that know Christ, those of us that are already believers, I want all of us to be encouraged and strengthened and edified and built up. Man, I want you to leave knowing that you've heard from God today and that He's working in you the way He's working in me. I want that. But I'm also aware that in any given setting, there just might be someone who is hearing these principles from God's Word, and something just feels missing to you. You understand it, but you've never really understood it. You get it? It makes mental sense to you, but somehow it's never really found a home in your heart. And so I'm wondering today if there's anybody that would just say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. You know, I hear what you're saying and it all makes sense to me, but I'm tired of just going through the motions. I'm just tired of paying lip service, and I'm tired of people thinking something about me that is really not true. I want to be genuine. I want to be real with God today. I'm recognizing my own spiritual poverty, and I realize today that the only appropriate response to that is to cry out to God for mercy. Anybody here today would just say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I want you to pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ today. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, let's look at it another way. Maybe we're not talking about getting saved, but maybe we're talking about that the Holy Spirit has challenged you in a way that you are a little bit uncomfortable with. Maybe you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit pulling you in a direction, and there's a tendency within you to resist it, but you know better. You know that God is working in your heart. You know that God is trying to bring you to a place of desperation, for only then will you be filled. Only then will you be satisfied. And you know that, and so you're just kind of willing to say, yeah, pray for me. God's working in me. I'm already a Christian. I already love Jesus. But I sense God trying to do a deeper work in me. Anybody want to slip up a hand and say, pray? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. But just, hey, yeah, there's a hand. Thank you. I just sense God trying to do a deeper work in my life. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Can we do that? I'll go ahead and tell you, I want to pray together as a congregation, but then I want to invite you at the close of that to just come and find a place. If you choose not to, that's fine. It doesn't mean you're less than spiritual or anything else. But if you feel that desire, you feel that tugging, and you want to just come and find a place and just spend a few moments in prayer, I would invite you to do that. And if you need specific prayer, we have some elders and myself. We can come around and we can pray with you and ask God to help you in your specific situation. So I want to invite you in advance. I want to invite you to come and do that once we have this closing corporate prayer. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to us very clearly today. We thank you, Lord, that we have the promise of your word that when we hunger and when we thirst, you're not going to leave us disappointed, but you'll satisfy us. You'll fill us. You'll give us the very righteousness that we're seeking after through the accomplished and the finished work of Christ. Lord, we thank you. Now, Lord, there are some here today that have indicated that they sense you trying to do a deeper work in them. Lord, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would continue to bear down, continue to press in, continue to draw them close to you, continue to remind them of your word and of your truth. Lord, you're doing a deep, deep work. I ask you to continue to do that work. And Lord, let the response from our hearts be one of readiness to run to you and obey. But we speak blessing over these, your people, today. That when we leave from this place, there'll be no pride whatsoever, but that there'll be a recognition that the only good thing in me is something that Christ has done. And that we'll follow after you with a whole heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Again, if you're ready to be dismissed, feel free to do that. If you'd like to spend a few moments in prayer, we'd encourage you to do that as well.